The loudest noise ever made in the world was a volcanic explosion in 1883. It was heard from 3,000 miles away. It pulverized a solid mile cube of rock. I'll be back in a moment to talk about another fiery blast and no place to hide. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, Facts Which Affect You. Today we're going to continue talking about the subject of hell, not a very happy subject, I'm sure, to talk about, and yet a most important one for every one of us. We discovered in our last broadcast that hell is really going to be right here on this earth, and that the whole planet is going to be set on fire, and that the wicked will be devoured right here upon the face of the earth. And that brings us to the question of how big and how large hell is. Well, I'm thankful we don't have to theorize on this. I've heard some amazing wild guesses and some very rash statements also. But I'm thankful God has given us the answer. It's found right here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, it doesn't say burned, it says burned up. That little word up denotes completion, and according to this scripture, it is a whole earth on fire. Now, how big will hell be? Why, it'll be just as big as the earth, 25,000 miles around, 8,000 miles through it, because God is going to set this earth on fire with his great fiery atomic blast, and the earth will melt, and the works and the people in the earth will be burned up. That's what the scripture states. You know, I think we need to remember something, friends, that God has fiery atomic power stored for immediate use. He knows much more about the atom than man ever will discover. We need to keep that in mind. We can't help but be reminded of God's power when one of these volcanoes erupts somewhere. Have you ever read about the giant volcano Krakatoa? I'm sure you have read sometime or the other about it. That volcano is just off the coast of Java, and it erupted in 1883. It made the loudest noise that's ever been recorded. It was heard for 3,000 miles, and it took a solid cube of material, dirt and rock and so forth, a mile each way, ripped it loose and threw it up in the sky 17 miles, blew it to smithereens, so that it just scattered everywhere. Darkness covered great sections of the earth, and finally those ashes stretched completely around the circle of the earth. The concussion was so terrific that great waves of water fled from its presence 50 feet high, and with tremendous force struck the coastlines of Java and Sumatra, so that 1,295 villages and cities were completely wiped out. We talk about the power of the hydrogen bomb and the atom bomb, friends. We'll have to go some yet to approach God's power as manifested in that volcano. Now, God has these things stored for immediate use, not only in the earth, but in the heavens. Because the Bible teaches, you remember we read it a moment ago, that fire would come down out of heaven, from God out of heaven, and devour them. And it's also stored in the earth, 2 Peter 3. And verse 5, it's speaking of the flood, and verse 6 says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And so, it says, the Lord has fire stored in the earth and in the heavens. And when God strikes the earth with that great fire atomic blast of his, the elements will melt. The wicked will be burned up, and there'll be no place for the wicked to hide. No place at all, because everything will be destroyed. Another question asked about hell is this: how long will the wicked burn in this fire? Now, friends, we really don't know the complete answer for this. The Bible doesn't give it to us. And it's not wise to theorize about things if God is silent on the question. But we do know this, however. The wicked will not burn the same length of time. They'll be punished according to their works. The Bible's very specific on this. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. That's Revelation 22, verse 12. So the Lord is going to punish a person according to the amount of his evil, and reward him according to the amount of his good. He has to do this because he said he would do it in Revelation 22. So some people will burn longer than others. But remember this. In the final end, every person in that fire will be devoured, destroyed, annihilated, completely put out of existence. They'll not live on and on through the ages of eternity, burning and suffering. Now the next question is, well, will the fire ever go out? Yes, we can be positive because once again God gives the answer in Isaiah. The gospel prophet gives the answer in Isaiah 47, verse 14, speaking of the destruction of the wicked. Behold, they shall be as stubble. Now, that's dry grass, you know. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm it, nor fire to sit before it. Now, there's a lot in this verse. There's many a sermon there. You see how logically it goes right down through the steps. The fire will burn them. They will not be able to escape from it, and then the fire is going out, because there will be nowhere left even a little coal glowing that you could sit before to warm your hands at. That's Isaiah 47:14. What will be left then when the fire goes out? Malachi chapter 4, verse 3, and here's what it says, "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, and the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." What will be left? Ashes, friends. I don't see how anybody could misunderstand that, do you? It's so clear and plain, there'll be nothing left but ashes, and the Lord says the righteous will tread down the wicked, they'll be ashes under their feet. Now, here is something else of interest. You've often heard it said, and often talked, I suppose, and often read, that the devil is in charge of hell. Yes, indeed, he's pictured there as a monstrosity, half beast, half man, with a tail and split hooves, holding a pitchfork, telling people they'll never get out of the fire, poking them every once in a while with his pitchfork, stoking up the fire. Yeah, you've heard that many, many times. Well, I don't know where that comes from, friends, but I'll guarantee one thing, it's not from the Bible. Because here's what the Bible says about that in Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone." Now, don't let anybody tell you that he'll have anything to do with keeping up the fire. He'll be in it. Now, what will it do to him? Well, let's see. The Bible gives the answer to that here in Ezekiel 28, and I'm going to read parts of several verses here, beginning with verse 18. Here is the story of Satan now and his final end. "I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee, and never shalt thou be any more." Now, instead of the old devil living through the ceaseless ages of eternity and being on God's payroll as a trusted employee to keep the fires burning, he'll be turned to ashes in that fire just like the rest of the wicked. God says so. Here's another scripture, Psalm 37, verses 10 and 20. "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away." Now, did you ever hear anybody say something went up in smoke? That's what the Bible says will happen to the wicked. They'll go up in smoke. And then verse 10 says, "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." I say just a little longer, and one thing is for sure, you'll not be able to find any wicked. You can look ever so diligently, but you'll not find them. Why? Because they've been burned into ashes, into smoke they've consumed away, and God says the righteous will tread down the wicked, for they'll be ashes under the soles of their feet. They shall not be. That's the way Psalm 37 gives it. You ought to remember that chapter. It's a very good one on this topic. All right, another question now. Will people be real in that fire? Many have thought that only the disembodied soul, whatever that is, will go into the fire. Well, let me read you God's answer to that. It's in Matthew 10, 28. "But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Listen, hellfire destroys both the soul and the body. The Lord specifically spoke of this in Mark 9 also, when he spoke of the dangers of having 2 feet to be cast into hell, and 2 hands to be cast into hell, and 2 eyes to be cast into hell. He said, "If that hand offends you, better cut it off and enter into life with 1 hand rather than having 2 hands to be cast into hell." And then he specifically taught that when men enter hell, it will be in bodily form, and that the fire will destroy both soul and body. Now I want to answer a few questions. I wish I had time to answer all the questions that you have in your minds, but I'm sure I won't be able to. It's too big a subject. But I know there are a few things you're wondering about. And one of them is this. What is meant by everlasting destruction? The Bible speaks of everlasting destruction in 2 Thessalonians 2, 7-9. I'd like to remind you that the Bible does and does not call it, however, everlasting destroying. It is everlasting destruction. Destroying is an act that continues on and on and on, but destruction is one act that takes place and then it's done. There's all the difference in the world in destroying and destruction. In the 92nd Psalm, the Lord makes this clear in speaking of the wicked. He says in verse 7, "When the wicked spring is the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever." Now, if I have a little piece of paper here in my hand and decide that I'm going to take this paper and destroy it, it's destroyed forever. If I take a match and burn it up, friends, it will be burned up forever, or forever destroyed. It's done once for all. It'll never have to be done again. God will take care of it by one single act. Now, I have visited on this paper, if I strike a match to it, eternal destruction. It's been destroyed once and for all. You say, all right then, what about everlasting fire? The Bible speaks of that too, in a number of places. One place is Matthew 25 and verse 41. It says, everlasting fire. But what is everlasting fire? Look at Jude 7. There's just one chapter in Jude, and this is what verse 7 says. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Now here we have an example of eternal or everlasting fire. Those cities of the plains suffered that kind of destruction. But now let's notice what the Apostle Peter said on this matter. And it'll settle the question forever. He says in 2 Peter 2:6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." My friends, isn't that wonderful? The Lord is so positive here. Jude says those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. Peter comes along and says, yes, and I want to tell you something else. That fire turned them to ashes. So that's what eternal fire does. It turns something to ashes. And he said, in effect, anybody who lives ungodly should take heed, because that's the kind of fire that's going to destroy the wicked. And may I repeat, according to the Scripture, eternal fire is a fire that turns something into ashes. Well, you say, what about the unquenchable fire? Mark 9:43 mentions fire that can't be quenched. And people say, well, that's a fire that'll just never go out. Well, no, friends, what does the word quench mean? It means that it cannot be extinguished. And do you know Jeremiah says that the gates of Jerusalem burned with that kind of a fire, unquenchable fire, and yet those gates burned to ashes? They really did. So unquenchable fire simply means something that cannot be put out. It cannot be extinguished. Now, if the wicked could put the fire out, they would put it out and escape from it and get out of it. But they can't do that. They'll be destroyed in it.